Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Thanks to everybody who supports Daily Tech News Show directly. To find out more, head to dailytechnewsshow.com/supports.
This is the Daily Tech News for Tuesday, September 18th, 2018 in Los Angeles. I'm Tom Merritt.
And from a studio that's more like a zoo, I'm Sarah Lane.
I noticed you were Scooter Lane yesterday with the jury, and today you're Sarah? Why does jury get the special treatment that I don't?
Meagle ears, doesn't he?
Well, from a dark place in Finland, which the entirety of Finland is dark, I'm Patrick Beja.
And
from
the outskirts of the LA metropolis, I'm Roger.
Another Jay Martin in our Discord suggests the Zoodio, Sarah.
Ooh.
Nice.
I had not thought about the Zoodio.
We do have the smartest audience in the world.
Yeah.
Very funny, at least.
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk about Google and how they just take stuff away once you get used to it. But let's start with a few tech things you should know.
Well, if you watched the Emmy Awards last night, we were talking about this in the pre-show. For the first time ever, a streaming service, and that's Netflix, tied for most Emmy wins Monday night. HBO shared the top honors. They both had 23 wins each. Amazon also collected 8 awards, including Best Comedy for The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. That one got quite a few awards last night. And Hulu took home 4.
Marvelous Mrs. Maisel is indeed marvelous. I recommend you watch it. The Renault Nissan Mitsubishi Alliance has agreed to a multi-year deal with Google to produce vehicles with Android infotainment systems beginning in 2021. The system would have the Google Play Store available in Dash, be combined with the car maker's intelligent cloud, and be compatible with non-Android phones.
I'm not going to lie. I made sure I gave that headline to Patrick so that someone could properly say Renault.
Renault, you mean?
Yes, that
is that.
Right.
Qualcomm and Apple began a second trial with the U.S. International Trade Commission. Yes, this is trial number 2, separate from the other one. And they got other court cases to boot as well. Qualcomm is asking the ITC to ban some iPhone models from import for patent violations relating to how Intel modem chips handle radio signals in the iPhone, and one relating to how Apple's own processor handles sleep mode. The previous case between Qualcomm and Apple related to battery management and also some other functions of the modem. All right, let's talk a little bit more about Twitter doing something people wanted.
For once, Twitter is now allowing users to uncheck the settings box reading "Show the best tweets first," which reverts your timeline to a non-algorithmic reverse chronological order. The company introduced a default algorithmic model in early 2016. Twitter says it's been planning this update for some time based on user feedback and is working on an even easier way. I apologize, on an easier way to switch between relevant and chronological views.
Okay, I will play the part of the ungrateful Twitter user now. Great, how about editable tweets instead? Also, I think that's... can you maintain TweetDeck maybe too? Okay, I'm sure there's more, but...
There are. I think editing tweets is...
Why'd you screw up the API for TweetBot?
Oh, there you go.
That's what I use.
I mean, this is something that... I think everyone thinks they want, but actually they don't. But they think they want it so much that I really don't understand why Twitter doesn't have an easy way of choosing between chronological and algorithmic. And just default to algorithmic if you want to, but giving that option really doesn't seem like a big technological challenge. And I really don't understand why neither them nor Facebook actually, or really anyone that implements algorithmic displays, enables. It seems like a no-brainer.
Well, Facebook has been, I gave up on Facebook being chronological in any sense a long time ago. The fact that Twitter is at least giving people an option is great. This is part of the reason that I have not used web Twitter since they introduced the algorithm. Part of it is because I didn't want to see ads either, and I also like Tweetbot, and I've been supporting this third-party software company for some time. So it's a little bit more complicated, but I found Twitter, it was sort of like a landmine of uselessness because I'm so used to everything being chronological because I prefer to be a news source. Now, not everybody feels the same way, and it's nice that Twitter is now offering at least the option. And there was some talk on the internet that this was due to somebody tweeting that you could mute certain keywords and kind of get around the algorithm, and Twitter said, "We've been thinking about doing this for a long time, so that's not the reason that we did it. We didn't do it just to be reactionary to somebody complaining about this or figuring a workaround." But it's nice to have the choice. How could you not be happy about that?
I get what Twitter's saying about having this as a setting is not optimal, and they've been taking a long time because they want to get it right. They want to roll it out in a way that makes sense, and so they're doing a lot of testing and being careful. Everybody's like, "Why don't you just do it?" And then when Twitter or Facebook or anybody else just does it, they're like, "Why'd you do it that way? Why didn't you test it more? Tell us about it earlier." So in a sense, nobody can ever get it right. But I agree with you, Patrick. I think what you want is a toggle or something that says, "Let me see what it's like in chronological order when I want to." Because most of the time, I think the algorithm's just fine, personally.
Well, I mean, that's exactly what they're offering.
No, they're putting in settings. I want a toggle like right on the interface, right on the front page that says like, let me just click that real quick and see what it looks like chronological. Oh, that's it? Okay, great. Let me go right back.
Well, Twitter, you have work yet to do. Mozilla released version 1.0 of Firefox Reality, which is a web browser built for standalone virtual reality and AR headsets. Firefox Reality is now available in the Viveport, Oculus, and Daydream app stores. Mozilla first announced work on the open source browser back in April, so they've been working on this for a little bit of some time, at least publicly. Users can adjust things like screen size or brightness of screens. They can choose an environment for the browser, and Mozilla says upcoming features include support for bookmarks, 360-degree videos, and accounts.
God bless Mozilla. Thank God they're here. But I'm not sure this is going to light the world on fire.
Well,
we need a web browser designed for VR. I think that is a good thing, but
It's more a question of do enough people use VR for this to light the world on fire. But if you use VR, I think this is a great thing. As someone who has an Oculus Go, I can't wait to try it out.
I mean, do you really want to use VR to browse the web?
I don't know until someone tries to make a decent browser. Maybe I do.
Right.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, we were talking about the way that we all type differently the other day. And Mozilla said, in many situations, having keyboard access is okay for some folks, but when you're in a VR environment, it's not very helpful. You need a lot of spoken commands. And do you want to be in a browser that is completely black surrounded you? Well, maybe not, especially during the day, that sort of thing. So there's all sorts of reimagining of browser worlds that, as you mentioned, Tom, I don't think we know what that is.
Also, I want virtual reality websites. And I don't want to surf the 2D web in VR so much as have a browser that is working so that people will make virtual reality experiences on the web and I don't have to download an app for every experience. Google announced it will give up some control over how the Accelerated Mobile Pages, or AMP, project is managed. Google launched AMP saying it would be part of the open web, but a lot of web developers think that's not really the case. So AMP will no longer have all its final decisions made by Google employee Malte Ubel. Instead, AMP will be governed by a technical steering committee, an advisory committee, and working groups, all containing non-Google employees, alongside some Google employees, of course. The advisory committee already has members from The Washington Post, AliExpress, eBay, Cloudflare, and WordPress maker Automattic. Google has also been working with the W3C separately to create a standard for accelerated web pages that AMP could comply with, but would not be the same as AMP. So they're really trying to say, no, we really want to do open source and open standards correct.
I almost want us not to need AMP. I understand the reason for it, but there is a purity to the idea that you are going to get, because basically what that means is a formalization of what is already the case, which is a different web on a desktop and on a smartphone.
No, but your AMP pages load on the desktop too. You can have AMP pages.
I'm sorry?
You can have AMP pages load on the desktop. I do all the time.
Yeah, but that's not what they're designed for.
No, but it's not like they're separated.
Right. Yeah. I mean, anyway, this is a different thing. It's good that if Google wants AMP to become a de facto standard, they need to do this. And they want it to become a de facto standard because they want more people to be able to surf the web more efficiently, which has always been the motivation for 80% of what they do. So this is a logical move. It wasn't very open web-ish before. Now it probably is a little bit more.
Agreed.
Instagram's Explore is getting a personalized shopping channel to let users discover items for purchase and then checking out on the merchant's website. Instagram is also expanding its shopping tags for Instagram stories to all viewers worldwide after and letting brands in 46 countries add the shopping bag icon to stories that users can click through to buy what they saw.
Take that, Pinterest.
We knew that this was happening. I haven't bought anything yet. This is news as far as the functionality that I'm seeing anyway.
Yeah, it's category page is the key here, right? It's having a whole shopping section where you can just go and like get your retail therapy, so to speak.
Okay, so when Instagram first introduced ads, I was like, hide ad. I was really good about that for a while. And I was like, they're never stopping. I'll just do my best to ignore them. I do a pretty good job of not looking at ads. Every once in a while, something gets me where I'm like, ooh, that's a beautiful shot of a living room. Oh, wait, that's an ad. But I'm not buying anything on Instagram. However, if I was following, let's say a really cool interior designer who had regular items that were in his or her stories that were actually of value to me. Tom, you're moving to a new house. You can think of lots of reasons where this would be like, maybe not all the time, but if it's a more seamless experience and they're going to be ads anyway, then sure, if you want to buy something.
But this is why I wanted to emphasize the shopping section, because this isn't about ads. This is about people I'm following selling me stuff, or decide to go to the shopping section and look for things to buy rather than having it pushed to me in my feed. I think that's the bigger difference here.
Well, they're offering both. The functionality
doesn't really change the ads so much. It's saying like, hey, folks who like to shop on Instagram, we're going to make it even easier.
Well, sure, but that's an ad.
Well, okay. When you say ad, I'm thinking the thing that shows up as a picture in my Instagram feed, right? That's not really changing.
Right.
The checkout, I guess, might get a little faster on those, but there's nothing changing there. What is changing is in my Instagram story from the person I actually follow, I can click through and buy a thing because I follow the architect, like you're saying. And again, the thing that I think is most significant is I can now go into a tab called shopping specifically because I want to look at the catalog and buy some stuff.
Yeah. I mean, hey, give it its own tab. Great. People want to buy stuff, making it easier.
It sounds like you're like, I don't want to shop on Instagram, right?
No, but I don't shop on Pinterest. Yeah,
it feels like this is a play to, as you mentioned in the beginning, Tom, this is basically going for the, now that they've essentially killed the momentum of Snapchat, they're turning their gaze onto Pinterest and thinking, how can we kill them now? So...
Turn a buck or two, right? Because they're gonna
Of course. And I'm guessing a lot of creators that are, you know, big on Instagram are very happy with this because they can get a commission, I'm sure, on stuff.
Sources tell CNBC that Amazon plans to release at least 8 new voice assistant powered devices before the end of the year, including a microwave oven, an amplifier, a receiver, a subwoofer, and an in-car gadget of some kind, anonymous sources. But all of the devices may connect to Amazon Voice Control, and some reportedly will have it built in as well. Basically, the difference between a light bulb that you could tell your Echo to control versus an Amazon Echo itself. Amazon's expected to announce the devices at an event later this month.
Yeah, so I'm guessing this is total guessing, but like the amp, the receiver, and the subwoofer would be like a Sonos, where you can tell... Sonos has Amazon Voice services built in, so maybe that's a bad example. But these are Amazon made. So they're similar to the stuff that's already out there, like a Sonos, but they're going to be made by Amazon. Some of them you'll tell your Echo, hey, tell the microwave oven to set itself for 2 minutes, right? But you wouldn't be able to talk directly to the oven, let's say. But then you could talk directly to the amp or to the car.
This is such an Amazon approach. Such an Amazon approach. All right, we have something good. Where else can you put it? Can we put it in the car? All right, let's
but
do that.
But they're not
in the
first
oven,
ones to do it, Patrick. Everybody's been making all of these products already. It's just Amazon's like, oh, those seem to be doing well. Let's make them ourselves.
Right. But if you think of the other big tech companies, you know, companies like Google or Apple or even they seem a lot more deliberate and considerate in the way they introduce new products. Amazon has to be everywhere and try everything and see what sticks. I think it's a slightly different approach.
I do think that the voice controlling world that many of us have become more used to, a couple of years ago, if you would have said, a microwave oven you can tell to set for 1 minute, I'd be like, no one wants that.
I'm still not
and sure now that. I'm like, I want that.
Do you? Okay.
I do. I mean, I'm not like sitting around in the kitchen being like, if only I could talk to my microwave oven, but I would use it.
Well,
hey, if I don't have to walk across the room and, you know, press 4 buttons.
I immediately think of having the Echo tell me like, hey, your microwave is done, right? In case you didn't hear it beeping or something like that. Mm. Well, no, I mean, that's something with my Tavala oven. It's in the other room. I don't always hear the beep, but my app goes off, right? So having the Echo, you know, tell you like, oh, your sandwich is ready. That would be kind of cool. No?
Oh, give it a try.
Yeah, I thought that would be the least controversial thing I've said all day. You guys seem to think it's the dumbest thing ever.
No, I mean, I think it's... Why not? But also, I think you hear the beep. It's one of those things where I think it's getting put into something you don't really need it for.
I don't hear the
beep.
But
maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong.
Maybe we live in different size places.
Well, I also dislike the... Oh, I'm sorry. I understand we're not from the
in
same
Tom's
world.
In Tom's palatial estate, yeah. You can't hear
in
it.
In my mansion.
Folly oven.
Yeah. Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The Claude 3 model family from Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. With models at every point on the price-performance curve, you no longer have to make trade-offs between intelligence, speed, and cost. Claude 3 Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed, and Haiku is the fastest and lowest cost model in the market, perfectly designed for high volume, high speed use cases. Join the thousands of enterprises who trust Anthropic to keep them at the frontier. Visit anthropic.com/Claude today.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Stripe Tap to Pay on iPhone came along and changed everything. With Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. No more juggling different methods. Just a simple tap on my iPhone and transactions are complete. What's truly remarkable is how Stripe caters to all my customers' preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Stripe ensures a smooth checkout experience every time. Setting up Stripe was a breeze, taking just minutes to get up and running. From local markets to global retailers, Stripe helped me expand my reach and grow my business with ease. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
And you're no, it's you just tired to the parlor.
Sometimes I'm like, got music playing or whatever. I don't know. Yeah. You've never had that problem. I'm sorry. I have.
I understand what you're saying. I just think it's not going to get a lot of use for this. But, you know, is it going to be more Fire Phone or more, you know, Fire TV? We don't know. I would say Fire TV, Fire Phone, but maybe it's more Fire TV.
I've been wanting to create a regular segment called You're So Smart, where we get our listeners who are way smarter than us to write in and tell us things that they are very smart about. What's that?
I said, excuse you.
Well, they're smarter than me.
Well, we're at least have can give us great examples of why some smart home device that we may not be using is really
so
valuable.
Microwave oven, amp, receiver, subwoofer, in-car gadget, feedback at dailytechnewsshow.com to tell us why they would be useful. We already covered the spread of why they wouldn't be. We don't necessarily hear about that part. Hey, folks, if you want to get all the tech headlines each day in about 5 minutes, be sure to subscribe to DailyTechHeadlines.com. So YouTube's retiring its gaming app. It's been around since 2015. It's lasted a lot longer than other Google YouTube properties. But it's going away sometime next spring. I'm not sure, March, April. They haven't quite decided yet. Its features are supposed to all come to the YouTube app. So the idea is not that they're getting rid of YouTube gaming, but they're just going to fold it back into the YouTube app. So things like game pages, live stream gaming from your phone, they say, we're going to figure that out. We're going to give you an option for that somehow. Things like Super Chat and channel memberships are already in the YouTube app. So they're already moving in that direction. And YouTube director of gaming content told TechCrunch, we have 200 million people that are logged in watching gaming content every single day. 200 million. And the majority of them, quite frankly, are just not using the YouTube gaming app for their gaming experience. They're just watching on the regular YouTube app. In fact, over the last year, more than 50 billion hours of gaming content has been watched, and YouTube has over 500,000 quarterly active live gaming streamers. And TechCrunch cited Sensor Tower showing that there are 11 million total users of the YouTube gaming app. That doesn't mean they're daily active users, but 11 million total. And they consistently continue to install the app across iOS and Android. Although 11 million total out of 200 million logged in tells you something right there. They're also going to be launching youtube.com/gaming, so you can go straight to all the gaming content. That's launched in the US with a global rollout to follow.
Yeah, so there's a lot to unpack here. First of all, 11 million out of 200 million logged in every day, and 11 million is total.
11 million installed, and 200 million logged in every day. So it's not even 11 million logged in. It's a lesser number than 11 million logged in. So a small percentage.
A small percentage. I think a lot of people installed the app and then promptly never used it again.
Right.
At least that's the anecdotal evidence I have on my end.
That seems to be what YouTube's saying as well.
Yeah, exactly. And I think a lot of people are taking this to mean YouTube is retiring YouTube gaming. And as you explained, it is absolutely not the case. It could not be farther from the case. YouTube is very much a gaming destination for pre-recorded videos. And the interesting number that we have for streamers is the one that I think should be noted. They say YouTube has over 500,000 quarterly active live gaming streamers. quarterly.
Yeah, it's
no one ever talks. No one ever talks quarterly. So I think the really interesting part here is YouTube launched YouTube Gaming at the same time, maybe in a bid to try and make game streaming happen in an effort to take away some of Twitch's thunder. And it seems they haven't really succeeded. To be fair, no one has really succeeded. Facebook is trying the same thing. But the gaming community is very squarely set on using Twitch for live streaming. On the other hand, Twitch is also not seemingly not making headway in, or not even really trying to be a destination for pre-recorded content beyond the archives of the streams. So it's interesting to see that we have these two different properties where gaming is incredibly important on both, but they each have their function. And for some reason, people don't want to use either for the purpose that they weren't primarily designed for. I'm not sure exactly why, but I exhibit the same behavior. I never go to YouTube for game streaming. There might be events I'm going to watch, but not game streaming. I always go to Twitch and vice versa. But gaming is still an immense part of YouTube. It's the first, you know, the top one category of videos, period. And so it's still very big.
I think that's what YouTube has discovered is, oh, we have a successful gaming we had a successful gaming community already. Trying to create a Twitch competitor called YouTube Gaming just was sort of irrelevant to most people. They're like, well, if it's YouTube, I'll just watch it on YouTube. If they were going to take on Twitch, it might have been smarter, it might have been dumber, to create a separate brand that was called, you know, Thumbs or something, and integrate it with YouTube, but really kind of bill it as a Twitch competitor, like a young upstart. I think you would have people install it and use it directly rather than calling it YouTube Gaming, in which people are like, oh, it's on YouTube? Well, I'll just launch YouTube. Like when you search for YouTube Gaming, YouTube, the app comes up and you probably end up just hitting that anyway.
And it's mostly just as good if you're going to – you do everything through search. So, yes, it's good to have a game page that's dedicated to the game you want to see. But if you search for the video, the title of the video you want to see, you're going to get it anyway. As you said, the gaming portion of the app, or, well, the entire app actually, is going to be ported over to the main YouTube app. So it's still going to live in there. So essentially, we're kind of making a chicken out of a feather. I think it's a Swedish saying.
Wow.
We're making a chicken out of a feather because this really doesn't mean anything other than literally the YouTube gaming app is going away. I think it's resonated with people because YouTube is in the habit of taking things away that people like or that some people like. Listen, in this case, it's something that people didn't really like anyway.
I think you're absolutely right. But all I can think of now is I'm never going to say mountain out of a molehill ever again. It's chicken out of a feather from here on out.
I approve.
That was lovely. Also lovely, everyone who participates in our subreddit, you can submit stories and vote on them at dailytechnewsshow.reddit.com. We're also on Facebook. Head on over there, facebook.com/groups/dailytechnewsshow. Also, Chris Christensen is back with us with some tech to make you better understood when you're overseas.
This is Chris Christensen from Amateur Traveler with another Tech in Travel Minute. On my last trip to Central Europe, I was reviewing a new device called a Langogo, which is available on Indiegogo, not to confuse things, but it is a pocket translator. We're getting just a little closer to the Babel Fish or to the Universal Translator. This device knows a number of different languages. It has to be connected to a cell system, so you have to either buy through them or have a SIM that you can put into it. But it does do translation, and it does it pretty well. You just speak a phrase into it like, Budapest was a very beautiful city, and it gives you
Budapest egy nagyon szép város.
And that, of course, is in Hungarian because it does a great variety of languages. I tested it with Hungarian and with native Brazilian Portuguese speakers, and it got pretty good reviews for giving a decent translation and a good accent. The device, again, is Langogo, and I'm Chris Christensen from Amateur Traveler.
Yeah, I mean, it's a dedicated device, but it's also a Wi-Fi hotspot. So it's kind of a cool thing. I'm glad Chris pointed that out because I would have been like, well, you just get an app. But it's got an eSIM in it. It's a cool thing. Go check it out.
Sometimes a dedicated device is something you need. Also, I'd like to say Chris Christensen really seems like more of a professional traveler to me. I don't know if
he has a day job, I believe. Although, Chris, let me know if that's not true anymore. And that was always the thing is, as much as he travels, he still has to keep his day job
going. I know.
But you're right. He does travel quite a bit, and he's good at it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Maybe he's not getting paid for it, which is why.
He's a really good amateur. Yeah.
He's an Olympic athlete traveler. All right, let's check out the mailbag.
Let's do it. Tim wrote in, and every once in a while, we like to highlight somebody who's showing off their gear, and that's DTNS gear. Tim says, hello, Tom, Sarah, Roger, and Patrick. Received my great DTNS hat a couple weeks ago. It even looks good on old geeks here in the cornfields of Northern Illinois. Keep up the great work. Proud to be a boss and a fan, a follower, and a friend since the Buzz Out Loud days.
Ah, Mag Tim Mag. That's awesome. And looking good in that hat, brother. Nice.
Looking real good. Yeah. Real good. Yeah. If you got gear you want us to show off, keep them coming.
Yeah. Send it to us. feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com.
Thanks to Patrick Bajoff for being with us, even though it's very dark. And there's feathers and chickens in Finland. I don't even know what's going on over there, but we're always happy to have you. What's been going on since we saw you last?
Well, listen, first of all, it's very dark here, but you are all my sunshine.
Aww. So that's fine.
So what's been going on? Wow, so much. How long do I have? 30 seconds. All right.
It's an Emmy speech, Patrick. Wrap it up.
Oh, yes. Cue the music because I've got to take a while. So first of all, the Phileas Club. Oh, my God. He did it. The Phileas Club. We just recorded an episode called Tales of Fatherhood, where we talk about being dads. And when I say we have me, who's half in France, half in Finland. Martin, who is half in France, half in Japan. And Bruce, who grew up in Zimbabwe and currently is in Scotland. And we talk about having kids and all of it, you know, the announcement, the pregnancy, the actual delivery, how it went for us and the cultural differences and a bunch of other things. So if you think you might be interested, go check that out. The other thing I would like to recommend is Pixels, which is a show about games. And one of the recent episodes we did was a special on the game Dead Cells, where I interviewed two of the developers. They're French and they have a lovely accent. It's a show in English, but we talk about the game, the challenges. It's a huge success. And we also talk about the company, which is a very weird structure where everyone is essentially a co-CEO. They all have the same share of the profits. They all have the same pay. They all have the same decision power, and it works. So if you think that would be interesting, go check that out. It's the Phileas Club and Pixels. It's available at frenchspin.com.
Folks, without you, this show would just be a feather. But thanks to our patrons, it's a whole chicken. It's a freaking barnyard full of chickens.
Delicious.
Yeah.
Rotisserie.
Please join in the fun if you haven't already. Don't be left out in the cold. There's all kinds of cool stuff going on in our Discord, in our Slack, and just on Patreon itself. Check it out, patreon.com/DTNS.
If you've got feedback we'd like to hear it, our email address is feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com. We're also live Monday through Friday at 4:30 p.m. Eastern, 20:30 UTC. And you can find out more at dailytechnewsshow.com/live.
Back tomorrow with Scott Johnson. Talk to you then.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com. Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.